Lord God, here as the semester sun sets, as we enter these last few weeks, I thank you for those people who are here and indeed our entire campus, those who are in the midst of travel, of homework, and of recitals, and all of the anxieties that we feel so deeply. I pray, Lord, that you would send your spirit of wisdom and encouragement, your spirit of confidence and peace, that in the midst of all of these very real things, we would feel the realness of your presence all the more. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So, I want to tell you about a place that I think is a wonderful place, a place called Sharky's. Sammy knows Sharky's. So Sharky's is a set of local bars in Radford and Blacksburg, Virginia. When I was a pastor, what's that? Yes, please. Yeah, when you go there, you need to go to Sharky's. And in particular, you need to go to Sharky's in Radford on Sundays or Wednesdays. You know why? Because they have an all-you-can-eat wing buffet. And when I think about being full, I think about Sharky's. Because for $15, I could get a drink and all of the wings and French bread pizza and literally the worst tacos I've ever had in my entire life. Aren't they so bad? They're so bad. And then these little Zeppoli desserts, which all they were like little like Pillsbury dough, deep fried, and then covered in powdered sugar, which is unreasonably good. Like, it's just really good. So, on a light night at Sharky's, I'd walk in and put away like 25 wings, plus like 3 or 4 pieces of pizza, celery, and those Zeppoli things. On one particularly memorable night, I just forewent all of the pizza and celery, because who needs to take up space with that? And I got somewhere over 50 wings before I stopped. I am here to tell you, I was full, but I was not fulfilled. I felt miserable. In fact, so miserable that Michelle and I lived under 2 miles away from this place, and the church was about a mile between where we lived, and then on the other side was the mile was a Sharky's. So on the way back from Sharky's, had to stop for a bathroom break at Sharky's just to get, or at the church all the way back home. It was miserable. I was full, but I was not fulfilled. Peter says that God's power has given us everything that we need for life. Everything that we need for life. Now, I want to talk about that lust word here for a second, because it's not the best translation for Peter's language. Peter is not talking just about sex and sexual desire. He is talking about the holistic kind of idolatry that comes with it. So sex and sexuality is included, but so is, I don't know, gluttony. And so is greed. So is the kind of overabundance of desire for power or fame. So what Peter is saying here is not just about lust for sex, but lust for money, lust for power, lust for anything that you are trying to fill yourself with more of because you think it's going to make you fulfilled when in fact it just makes you miserable. Because whatever it is that we love more than God, that we turn into idols, that's what Peter is getting at. And he's blaming that thing. That's the fascinating thing about this passage. Peter blames this disordered desire as the reason that the world is corrupt. I'm not quite sure Peter was saying, because I crushed 50 wings, sin entered the world. A certain kind of sin entered the world that night. What Peter is saying is, our obsession with filling ourselves with things we don't need, far beyond the capacity of need, that is what leads to sin in the world. So practicing fulfillment is not trying to fill ourselves with everything that feels good right now. It's not about immediate gratification. Practicing fulfillment isn't even just about us. If it was, then that gluttonous experience at the buffet would have left me more fulfilled instead of desperately uncomfortable. Because fulfillment isn't about collecting good feelings, good tastes, good authority. It's not about getting what we want. Fulfillment is about finding who we are. Who we are in God. Who we are in Jesus. Because it's Jesus' abundant life that is our fulfillment. In his life and death and resurrection, Jesus has invited us into eternal life. And eternal life starts yesterday. It starts before us. It's not about a heaven that we get to. It's not about one day I will somehow be at this great feast table and doesn't matter how many wings I'll eat, I'll feel just fine, thank you very much. That's not fulfillment. Fulfillment is instead about who is there. Jesus first, and the image of God in all of us. It's not a reign eventually, it's a reign right now. It's about gathering at a table with a community who give meaning to our lives and whose lives give us meaning. So when I think about Sharky's, my best memories aren't those nights. It's about going and having conversations with people like Jen and Katie, who I got to celebrate with after the Supreme Court upheld their marriage. It's about going with Maggie, who was the bass player in this little worship band that we started at Christ, who looked at me, remind you, I was only like 30 at the time. And she's like, I don't know. I mean, he's just so middle-aged. I was like, oh. Oh, God. Middle-aged? Come on. But then finding with Maggie an opportunity to affirm gifts in her as a church musician, as she now goes to college as an engineer, but wanting to play in church for the rest of her life. It's not about crushing wings. It's about finding the fullness of who God is in the midst of all of our interactions. So how do we practice fulfillment? What do we do? How do we not dive headfirst into a buffet, so to speak? In Peter's words, it's that very end of that passage. He says, to support your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. Now, what I said before was, we'd been a little too theoretical with fulfillment thus far. And by we, I mean me. So these are all good words. Self-control, endurance, mutual affection, love. But what I want to do tonight in our groups is actually flesh out what are the ways that we can practice fulfillment. What are the specific behaviors that we can put into practice when we leave tonight and in the weeks ahead? So it could be holding doors for people, small and simple, giving money or food to someone who's begging and in need, intentional faith formation like small groups or classes, fasting, and commitment to a daily prayer practice or scripture reading. If you have a roommate, maybe going to bed or leaving the room to study so that they can have some time on their own. But in your groups, what I want you to think about are the specific things, the particular details, about how we can practice fulfillment in our daily lives. Because it's not just about filling ourselves with what tastes good. It's a funny memory, but it's not real. What's real are the memories that we made with the people and the ways that we served and loved one another as a part of Jesus' community. That's what's real. So, as we break up into groups, our questions are, I've already signaled them to you, what is one way you can practice fulfillment tonight? As in, like, as you leave this place, what can you do? Small, simple, large, extravagant, what can you do to practice fulfillment? And that is one way that you can practice fulfillment for the rest of the semester. I know there's not lots of stress or anxiety or anything really preventing you from having fulfillment here, so it'll be hard to imagine, I'm sure. But work with me a little bit. What is one thing that you can do to practice fulfillment with your community here the rest of the semester? And what is one area where you need help in this practice? Do you need someone to tell you, like, maybe 35 wings is enough, bro? Like, maybe there's a stopping point. Albie's not going to be that friend for me. No. But be honest. I really want you to be honest about this help piece. Because this is a way that we can actually engage and help fulfillment come alive for one another. Because as your pastor, like, this might shock you. I'm not telekinetic.
What?
I'm apparently a little bit of a velociraptor, but I'm not telekinetic. Sometimes, I don't know how to best help you unless you tell me what kind of help you need. And shockingly enough, your partners, your friends, your teachers are the same way. We need to share, to be willing to be vulnerable enough to ask for help if we're going to find the help that we need in the world. So, let's break up into our groups and have some conversations. Ready, go!